You're listening to the only hour that ever was or ever will be. This is the most important hour in your entire life. For during this hour, you will decide your future and thus our collective futures. This is the hour of the time, and I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
I want to remind you all of our new food storage offer. These are packed in number 10 enameled cans, nitrogen packed. It is called the security unit. 2 year supply for one person or 1 year supply for two people. It consists of number 10 cans, one fruit mix, one applesauce, one apple slices, one raisins, one banana slices, one potato granules, one corn, one carrot dices, one tomato powder, one onions chopped, one peas green garden, one cabbage, one bacon bits, three beef, two chicken, one gelatin fruit flavor, one soup base, one peanut butter, one margarine product, one cheese blend, one salt, 12 instant non-fat. What was that?
I want to remind you to tell them that it's COD, and I was going to write it on a piece of paper. COD on delivery.
Sound like somebody ripped the studio in half. One gelatin fruit flavor, one soup base, one peanut butter, one margarine product, one cheese blend. I just repeated those, folks. One salt, 12 instant non-fat milk, 12 regular non-fat milk, 6 pinto beans, 6 elbow macaroni, 6 rice, 12 wheat, hard red wheat, 12 whole wheat flour, 12 cracked wheat cereal, 6 white sugar, and some 2.5 cans, one mung beans, Alaska peas, one triticale, one lentils, one complete cookbook, tells you how to reconstitute and cook all this good stuff, one sprouting tray, 50 lids for number 10 cans, and 3 lids for number 2.5 cans. Let me see, that's a total of 18 cases of number 10 cans, and plus the 2.5 cans, number 2.5 cans, totaling 108 cans in a sprouting unit. A recommended water storage to reconstitute this dehydrated food is 275 gallons. And the retail price, ladies and gentlemen, the retail price is $1,413. For listeners to this program, we have taken $300 off the retail price. You get it for $1,113. CAGI members get it for $1,000. Even. Shipping weight is 575 pounds. You pay the freight upon delivery, folks. So, depending on where you live in the United States, the shipping point is San Bernardino, California. The farthest point up in the Northeast, I believe, is around $300 for the family unit that we offered last week. Remember, that weighed 1,078 pounds. So, this would be much less to that part of the country, and remember, that's the most expensive shipping cost, is to the Northeast from San Bernardino, California. Next most expensive would be the Southeast, and then, you know, points in between, Cucamonga, all that stuff. Where's Cucamonga anyway? Does anybody know?
Well, Nova Scotia, I believe the young man there checked, and it's going to be about $460 for him.
Yeah, but he's out of the country.
Yeah.
That's overseas. Yeah. That's to be expected. Also, folks, we're going to offer you something else. We have a survival garden seeds package. It's a number 10 can full of survival garden seeds, 17 varieties, nitrogen packed. And let me tell you what it contains. This variety of top quality seeds was selected by virtue of their popularity, hardiness, and general adaptability throughout temperate climates. These open pollinated varieties have been garden tested and grown throughout the United States and have proven their yields through the test of time. These are open pollinated varieties. In other words, the old-fashioned kind of seeds, folks. One can plants a garden plot 65 feet by 124 feet. That is a lot of produce. One can plants a garden plot 65 feet by 124 feet. That's a lot of food, an awful lot of food. If you have canning ability, you can feed yourself all through the next winter on what you raise in your garden, and even maybe the following winter, depending upon what kind of canning method you make and your ability to sterilize everything well. It consists of sweet corn, jubilee, snap peas, blue lick, garden peas, Londo, beets, Detroit dark red, cabbage, Copenhagen market, cantaloupe, Hale's best, carrots, red cord Chantenay, cucumber, Armenian, lettuce, black-seeded Simpson, onions, sweet Spanish, bell pepper, Jupiter, winter squash, butternut, summer squash, zucchini, spinach, Bloomsdale longstanding, tomato, Rutgers, broccoli, Rob, and watermelon, sugar baby. These seeds, folks, have been selected for their high germination rate. They've been dry conditioned to precise specifications and hermetically sealed to ensure their maximum storage life in a heavy-duty enameled nitrogen-packed can. Now, if this can is kept sealed and in a cool place, the seeds inside will be maintained at the highest possible germination level. And folks, when they opened some of the tombs in Egypt that were over 3,000 years old, they found seeds that were still able to grow. Now, if you'd like to order that, we'll just keep that offer open until next Friday also. The price is $48 a can for listeners to the hour of the time and $40 for CAGI members. $48 for listeners, $40 for CAGI members. So, if you want them, get them. This offer expires next Friday. Now, where are we here?
Bill, I'll be waiting for you to announce the candles, the special candles that give heat and light.
Yep, that's coming up in a couple of weeks, I think. We got a lot of stuff here, and it's going to take a long time to go through it all. And those of you who missed the deal on that first unit, that family unit, feed four people, four adults for 1 year, or two adults for 2 years, or one adult for 4 years, you really, really missed out on the deal of the century, but, you know, that's the way it goes. Right now, let's go to Metropolis and see what's waiting for us there.
Let me talk to my agent. Yeah, this is the sheep man. You what? Hold on. Hey, can't you see I'm using that telephone? What's the matter with you? Now, I ain't talking to you, baby. Some guy out there in a blue suit and a red cape with a big S on his front. Now. Hey, let go.
This letter comes to us from one of the Superman folks. And up at the letterhead, now these aren't my words, this is his own words. It says, Nazi, fascist, homophobe, racist, bigot, cracker headquarters. Now can you imagine the self-esteem of this raving lunatic? Anybody who would put that on his letterhead belongs in a mental institution. He says, ladies and gentlemen, I guess this is something he sent out to a whole bunch of people, I don't know. He says, ladies and gentlemen, William Cooper has brought you an anti-German propaganda piece produced most likely by the sound of it by the BBC. You know, the same British broadcasting company that is run by poofders and reds, Jews, and jigaboos. That same official medium that permitted Winston Churchill to fake his speeches during the Blitz, covering up for the late PM while he slept through strategy sessions in a brandy-soaked stupor. This piece was supposed to make you hate Adolf Hitler and the Hakenkreuz because its beginnings were to be found in ancient Aryan lore. Boy, this guy just doesn't get it. They didn't say anything hateful about Adolf Hitler, and we didn't run that to make you hate Adolf Hitler, and it wasn't an anti-German propaganda piece. It was to educate you in the occult history, the occult root of the Nazi Party, and what happened, what sprang from that occult root. Also, he didn't get the message that there never was any Aryan lore. There was Teutonic lore, there were the Teutonic tribes, there were the Teutons, but there were never any Aryans until Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, a Russian, and many people claimed that she was a Jew, and if she really was a Jew, wouldn't that be ironic that all you Aryan idiots out there adopted her philosophy and occult teachings as your own? I would tell you that would be just the funniest thing that I ever heard in my life. He goes on to say, folks, Madame Blavatsky rediscovered the swastika, and we are told, you know, the old harridan that drove Scriabin mad with theosophy. What Mr. Cooper failed to tell you in bringing this propaganda piece to you is that, whatever its origins, Aryanism is the only protection the white race has against infection of its gene pool with utter destruction. What insanity. You know, the only thing that can threaten your gene pool is you screwing around with somebody you shouldn't be screwing around with. And if you want to keep your gene pool pure, all you got to do is marry somebody that looks just like you and have little kids that look just like you. Nobody's messing with your gene pool but you. Have you been attracted to a Jewish woman lately? Is that what got you in an uproar? Mr. Gazarian crap? I mean, carp? Oh, boy. This is really something. Let me continue here. Who stands to benefit from the pollution of the Aryan race? Jews, for one. Now, let me ask you, how would Jews benefit from the pollution of the Aryan race? And folks, let me ask you, who besides your own perverted, disgusting minds would even care about whether your race was polluted or not? You're the only ones who can pollute it. Nobody else can do it. Nobody's forcing you to marry someone who doesn't look like you. No one's forcing you to have sex with anyone else of any other race. No other race is jumping into your bedroom window at night and forcing you to have intercourse with them, are they? If they have, it would make a great front page story for the New York Times. But he says Jews for one. Then he says, when there are no more Aryans, the Jews can claim that their pale skins are proof that they are the master race. What kind of convoluted logic is that? Oh, no, says William Cooper. Jews wouldn't think of that. They're just victims, eternal victims of what else? Anti-Semitism, a term the Jews coined to make every other race feel guilty about protecting themselves from Jewish rapaciousness. Well, folks, that's a lie, too, because I've never called Jews victims. I make people responsible. In fact, I've nailed Jews. I've nailed blacks. I've nailed these so-called Aryans. I've nailed whites. I've nailed the British Israelis. I've discussed the foibles of the American Indians. I've talked about what goes on in the Oriental peoples, communities, and countries. The purpose of this program is responsibility and truth. And I don't believe anybody are victims. Sheeple, yes. Stupid, yes. Irresponsible, yes. Ignorant, yes. And just like this gentleman, sometimes even absolutely insane. And he goes on to say, as I see it, we have a choice between two alternatives, either Hitler or Marx and Herzl. The last time I looked, folks, old Hitler was dead. So I don't think he's going to bother anybody now or in the future. So I don't see how you've got a choice there with Mr. Hitler. But the way your poor warped mind works, maybe you're talking to Hitler. Maybe he walks into your bedroom at night. Maybe he's polluting your race. I don't know. And he says, of course, there's always freedom for the world. And can't we all just get along? But you don't have to choose. Just listen to the hour of the time. That's, folks. You don't have to choose between any of those things, folks. And you should listen to the hour of the time. But you do have to make a choice between what's right and wrong. Apparently, this person has made his choice. He's sick. Very, very sick. His name is Gazarian Karp. And as I always do when I get these insane ravings from these people, I will give you his address in case you care to write him a letter. His name is Gazarian. Is that Karp or Crap? Can you read that, Carolyn? What is that?
Carpi.
Okay, Carpi. Gazarian Carpi. Box 21776. Box 21776. And I happen to know that's not his real address, because I happen to know whose address that really is. But I'll give it to you anyway, because Mr. Gazarian Carpi will receive his mail there. Box 21776. Here's a guy who loves Hitler, loves Germany, wants with all his heart to be a Nazi stormtrooper, a member of the SS, and he dares to allude to patriotism to the United States by using 1776 in his address. Why don't you go live in Germany? You know, I don't think they'd want you over there either, because they don't like Nazism any more than those of us here do. Box 21776, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53221. That's Gazarian Carpi, Box 21776, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53221. If you love him and if you love what he's putting out, write him a letter and you can join his little organization along with Major Donald V. Clerken, who's a self-appointed major, I believe, of the Euro-American Alliance. Have you ever heard of such a thing? The Euro-American Alliance. And that's the address that Mr. Gazarian Carpi gave on his return address. This is a Nazi organization, folks. They just love Hitler around there. I bet you they got a portrait of him on the wall along with a Nazi flag, and they probably collect SS daggers and German Lugers and all kinds of things, which, you know, some of those things are pretty valuable. There's really, if you're doing it as an investment, there's really not anything wrong with it. But if you're as sick as that man is, then there is. Then I got another letter here from another Superman. His name is Ron Michelson. And I'll read that one to you. It says, I heard your program last night for the first time. Initially, I thought, it's about time someone tells the truth in this country. But then the anti-racist and anti-NS, whatever that is, anti-NS remarks started. I then realized that, as usual, the truth was being sacrificed on the altar of American propaganda. Now we have American propaganda. I can think of no other end of... Why not Jewish propaganda? Well, he'll get to the Jews sooner or later. I'll bet you anything that he will get to the Jews in this letter. You want to bet? Says, I can think of no other individual in the history of man who has been so misrepresented as Adolf Hitler, usually intentionally. Well, I don't know who's misrepresenting him, but he certainly hasn't been misrepresented on this program. I can guarantee you we have made sure that you have heard the facts about Mr. Adolf Hitler. The Holocaust, he says, is the most blatant lie. Well, in the original definition that Mr. Wiesel witnessed to, it was, because he claimed that the Jews were thrown into a pit of fire, and that's where the term Holocaust came from. See, the Jews are doing a lot of lying here, and this person is absolutely correct about that. The Jews themselves have corrected the number who have died in the so-called Holocaust from 6 million down to about 1,500,000 in their own publications, which I have revealed to you in this broadcast. We don't let anybody get away with lies, deception, or manipulations. He says the Holocaust is the most blatant lie. The Jews tried to start the 6 million myth during World War I as well, but they couldn't make it stick, probably due to the fact that the German government was left intact. At the end of the Second World War, the National Socialist leaders were arrested, tried, and in many cases executed. Their nation was divided into four sectors governed by the Allies. Germany lay prostrate. No one was able to refute these massive lies, and those few who tried were silenced. Most people won't question these giant myths. They're afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to question it, but I've revealed it and exposed it right here. He says, I could care less what anyone thinks of me. I have nothing to lose. Well, that's too bad, my friend. Someone who has nothing to lose must be living a pretty sad life. You should have something by now that you care about. Now, why is this American so concerned about Germany? You know, that's what happens to people when they lose wars. The victors take the spoils. They're lucky that they even have a nation, to tell you the truth. And if this were any era in history before the 20th century, their nation would have been laid bare. They would have nothing. Every brick would have been taken away. And the people would probably be enslaved. You dummies. And then he goes on. He says, Hitler disarmed his people? How many times have we all heard this one? The truth is much different, however. He actually encouraged private ownership of weapons, and that is a blatant lie. Our 1968 gun control laws in this country are an exact word copy of the 1938 gun control laws that Hitler passed in Germany. Hitler did not want the populace armed, for he felt that it was dangerous to have an armed populace. The only people that were armed were his lackeys. And that, my friend, is the truth. He said he knew that only a disarmed populace could be enslaved by communists. I don't think there was any danger of that. There are many pictures showing Hitler among his people. The people are sporting weapons in these photos, and yes, they're civilians. You, of course, won't believe any of this because it's un-American to say anything positive about Hitler. Why would I want to? I'm an American. I don't give a damn about Adolf Hitler, except to reveal these fairy tales that you poor misguided Nazis, who claim to be Americans, but are so concerned about Germany and Nazism and Hitler. Something's sick about you people. If you're going to be an American, why aren't you an American? Why aren't you worried about something in this country? Why don't you look up to somebody in this country as your hero? Why go to Germany for a man who lost a war, who committed stupid blunders, didn't even have the intelligence to stay out of Russia in the wintertime, didn't even give his troops overcoats to wear? You worship this guy like he's some little god. He goes on to say, Hitler and the occult? Are you serious? I thought this one died out in the 60s. I won't even waste my time on this one. Well, you can't, my friend. You can't waste your time on it. Because you can't refute it. It has been proven time and time and time and time again. And we'll have more on that on another program. And he says, if I understand your anti-racist remark correctly, you believe that we're all Americans with equal rights granted by the Constitution. No, that's not what I believe, my friend. Not what I believe at all. We are, all of us who are born in this country, no matter what we look like, no matter what our race is, no matter what church we attend, Americans, you dummy. And we are all born equal. We're all created equal. What we do from that point on is a product of our own responsibility, our irresponsibility, our stupidity, our criminality, our insanity, or a combination of all of the above. And he says, if you truly believe the Negro to be your equal, it's good that you're not in the white racialist circles. We only want clear-thinking, rational white people. Well, of course you do. That's why you're in the racialist. That's why you're in the white racialist circles. And I hope to hell you stay there. He says, I've been in every city in this country with a population of 200,000 or more and can honestly say that all men are not created equal. It's funny you only saw the poor blacks creating crime and the poor blacks who were sitting on the street corners. I think it's very strange you didn't see all the poor white trash out there. And there's lots of poor white trash committing crimes and homeless and drunk in door fronts. Every morning somebody's got to sweep them out of the way. You don't see them, do you? Only the blacks do that stuff. He hadn't gotten to the Jews yet. I wonder why. I bet he does, though. I'll bet you anything. You see, I haven't read all this letter yet, but I'll bet you anything. I will bet everything I own that he gets to the Jews. Here we go. Only a fool could look at the Bronx, for example, and actually believe the Negro is his equal. But then it's not acceptable to speak of race in this wonderful new age. I believe that people are what they are. I don't look at people as equal or not equal. I look at their accomplishments. I look at who they are. I look at their moral values. And there are criminals. There are good people in every race and every creed and every religion. There are sheeple and there are intelligent people. There are leaders and there are scum in every racial group, in every religion, in every nationality. And you, sir, are one of the scum in ours. He says, Mr. Cooper, why don't you go to Miami, South Los Angeles, or Chicago and spend a month or two, and when you return, if you do see, if you still believe in racial equality, how ridiculous. I've never believed in equality on any criteria, my friend. You are what you make of yourself, and that's how people should be judged. And by no other criteria. He says, one final point. Have you ever read Mein Kampf? Of course not. I have read Mein Kampf, my friend. He says, if not, you might find it very interesting reading. Learn what Adolf Hitler really believed, not what the Jews and their puppets wrote after the fact. I told you he would get to the Jews. I knew it. He got there. He's there. He's at the Jews. Now let's see what he says about the Jews. I knew he wasn't going to leave the Jews out. What the Jews and their puppets wrote after the fact. Reading a Jew author's biography of Adolf Hitler is like reading a biography of Jerry Falwell written by Anton LaVey. Incredible. Oh, my. Please send a tape of the February 28th show. I'll be able to listen Tuesday night, but not Monday. This Nazi occult stuff is bound to be good entertainment. Well, it was good entertainment. If you understood, and if you had listened to the previous episodes of The Hour of the Time on Mystery Babylon, you were able to make the connection all the way from ancient Babylon right up to the Third Reich, and right up to the United States of America today, and right up to Mr. Ron Michelson, Kook, first class. His address is Rural Route 2, Box 54A, Wells, Minnesota, 56097. That's Ron Michelson, Rural Route 2, Box 54A, Wells, Minnesota, 56097. One more time, Rural Route 2, Box 54A, Wells, Minnesota, 56097. If you're a Nazi and you would like to communicate with another Nazi, you can write to Mr. Michael. And maybe you guys can get together and have a little meeting or something.
I think it might be interesting to hear from this gentleman in about 3 or 4 years and see just what kind of a letter he'd write then.
See what he thinks about it then, huh? He might be sick of Nazis by then and might want good old America back. Who knows? They got it when they're that sick, though. They're usually gone. But listen to the... He sent me some literature on the true nature of Adolf Hitler's National Socialism. What is National Socialism? Shows the old eagle sitting atop the circle of the sun, in which the sun whisk, or the swastika, is rotating just like crazy. And, well, this is really interesting. And here it talks about the Golden Age. National Socialism recognizes that it is the nature-given duty of the Aryan to lead the other races out of chaos and back to living in harmony with the eternal laws of nature, to a golden age of peace, prosperity, purpose, belonging, and the higher evolution of all. That is right out of Freemasonry, right out of the mysteries, right out of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, and this guy claims that there is no occult connection to the Third Reich. Oh my God. Well, many of you are sitting out there making these connections right and left, and you now, if you've been listening to this broadcast long enough, you know what's coming. You know what's going on. There's no doubt in your mind, and you're beginning to make preparations. One of the preparations that you must make is to put some of your assets, however much of it you deem necessary, maybe all, maybe just part, I don't know, that's up to you, into something that will protect your assets, protect your money. There may come a day when you may have to pay someone for your very life, for the life of your loved ones. You may have to purchase your bread in an alley. You may have to pay for a roof over your head when there just isn't any money to be had anywhere and no work. And oppression is the norm in the land. Well, Swiss America Trading, our sponsor, specializes in just exactly that kind of protection. Non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets in their various forms. They back this program, and I back them 100%. We thoroughly investigated them before accepting them as a sponsor for the hour of the time, and I can tell you, with no hesitation, that I am proud to have my name associated with Swiss America Trading, with Craig Smith, with Gene Miller, and all the other fine people down there. So, if you would like to get some good free information, some newsletters that you're entitled to as listeners to this program, and also investigate how to protect what you worked for all your life, call Swiss America Trading right now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. You know how prone you are to procrastinate. So call now, folks. 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. Well, as promised, I'm going to read a little selection to you from Mackey's Encyclopedia on Freemasonry tonight, and this will further open your minds. Realistically, it should be another episode of Mystery Babylon, but we've closed it. So this will just be tonight's program. How about that? This is from page 68 of the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, printed in 1924. This copy is personally signed by Mr. Albert Mackey, and I'm looking at the topic Apocalypse, Masonry of the Apocalypse. I'm going to read this to you. If you're smart, if you have a brain, if you've listened to all of our programs on Mystery Religion of Babylon and our tapes on the Third Reich, then you're going to recognize something here that's going to send a chill up your spine, and if you're a Christian, it's going to help open your eyes a little more. And I hope everybody eventually wakes up from all of their blindness. I quote, "The adoption of St. John the Evangelist as one of the patrons of our lodges has given rise among the writers on Freemasonry to a variety of theories as to the original cause of his being thus connected with the institution. Several traditions have been handed down from remote periods which claim him as a brother, among which the Masonic student will be familiar with that which represents him as having assumed the government of the craft as Grand Master after the demise of John the Baptist. There must have been, in some way, a connection more or less direct between the evangelists and the institution of Freemasonry, or he would not have..." Excuse me, folks. Let me read that again. "There must have been, however, in some way, a connection more or less direct between the evangelist and the institution of Freemasonry, or he would not, from the earliest times, have been so universally claimed as one of its patrons. If it was simply a Christian feeling, a religious veneration, which gave rise to this general homage, I see no reason why St. Matthew, St. Mark, or St. Luke might not as readily and appropriately have been selected as one of the lines paralleled. But the fact is that there is something both in the life and in the writings of St. John the Evangelist which closely connects him with our mystic institution. He may not have been a Freemason in the sense in which we now use the term, but it will be sufficient if it can be shown that he was familiar with other mystical institutions which are themselves generally admitted to have been more or less intimately connected with Freemasonry by deriving their existence from a common origin. Such a society was the Essenian Fraternity, a mystical association of speculative philosophers among the Jews, whose organization very closely resembled that of the Freemasons, and who are even supposed by some to have derived their tenets and their discipline from the builders of the temple. As Oliver observed, their institution may be termed Freemasonry, retaining the same form but practiced under another name. Now there is little doubt that St. John was an Essene. Calmet positively asserts it, and the writings and life of St. John seem to furnish sufficient internal evidence that he was originally of that brotherhood. But it seems to me that St. John was more particularly selected as a patron of Freemasonry in consequence of the mysterious and emblematic nature of the Apocalypse, which evidently assimilated the mode of teachings adopted by the evangelists to that practiced by the fraternity." I hope you make that connection. "If anyone who has investigated the ceremonies performed in the ancient mysteries, the spurious Freemasonry, as it has been called, of the pagans, will compare them with the mystical machinery used in the Book of Revelations, he will find himself irresistibly led to the conclusion that St. John the Evangelist was intimately acquainted with the whole process of initiation into these mystic associations, and that he has selected its imagery for the groundwork of his prophetic book. Mr. Faber, in his Origin of Pagan Idolatry, Volume 2, B. 6, something 6, has with great ability and clearness shown that St. John in the Apocalypse applies the ritual of the ancient initiations to a spiritual and prophetic purpose. The whole machinery of the Apocalypse, says Mr. Faber, from beginning to end, seems to me very plainly to have been borrowed from the machinery of the ancient mysteries, and this, if we consider the nature of the subject, was done with the very strictest attention to poetical decorum. St. John himself is made to personate an aspirant about to be initiated, and accordingly the images presented to his mind's eye closely resemble the pageants of the mysteries, both in nature and in order of succession. The prophet first beholds a door opened in the magnificent temple of heaven, and into this he is invited to enter by the voice of one who plays the hierophant. Here he witnesses the unsealing of a sacred book, and forthwith he is appalled by a troop of ghastly apparitions which flit in hard succession before his eyes. Among these are preeminently conspicuous a vast serpent, the well-known symbol of the Great Father, and two portentous wild beasts, which severally come up out of the sea and out of the earth. Such hideous figures correspond with the canine phantoms of the orgies, which seem to rise out of the ground, and with the polymorphic images of the hero god who was universally deemed the offspring of the sea. Passing these terrific monsters in safety, the prophet, constantly attended by his angel Hierophant, who acts the part of an interpreter, is conducted into the presence of a female, who is described as closely resembling the great mother of pagan theology. Like Isis emerging from the sea and exhibiting herself to the aspirant Apollesis, this female divinity, upborn upon the marine wild beast, appears to float upon the surface of many waters. She is said to be an open and systematical harlot, just as the Great Mother was the declared female principle of fecundity, and as she was always propitiated by literal fornication reduced to a religious system, and as the initiated were made to drink a prepared liquor out of a sacred goblet, so this harlot is represented as intoxicating the kings of the earth with the golden cup of her prostitution. On her forehead, the very name of Mystery is inscribed, and the label teaches us that in point of character, she is the great universal mother of idolatry. The nature of this mystery, the officiating Hierophant undertakes to explain, and as an important prophecy is most curiously and artfully veiled under the very language and imagery of the orgies. To the sea lion, to the sea-born, Great Father was ascribed a threefold state. He lived, he died, and he revived. And these changes of condition were duly exhibited in the mysteries. To the sea-born wild beast is similarly ascribed a threefold state. He lives, he dies, and he revives. While dead, he lies floating on the mighty ocean. Just like Horus, or Osiris, or Siva, or Vishnu, cast in the coffin upon the waters. When he revives again, like those kindred deities, he emerges from the waves, and whether dead or alive, he bears 7 heads and 10 horns, corresponding in number with the 7 ark-preserved rishas and the 10 aboriginal patriarchs. Nor is this all. As the worshippers of the Great Father bore his special mark or stigma and were distinguished by his name, so the worshippers of the maritime beast equally bear his mark and are equally decorated by his appellation. At length, however, the first or doleful part of these sacred mysteries draws to a close, and the last or joyful part is rapidly approaching. After the prophet has beheld the enemies of God plunged into a dreadful lake or inundation of liquid fire, which corresponds with the infernal lake or deluge of the orgies, he is introduced into a splendidly illuminated region, expressly adorned with the characteristics of that paradise which was the ultimate scope of the ancient aspirants. While without the holy gate of admission are the whole multitude of the profane or uninitiated, dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Such was the imagery of the apocalypse, the close resemblance to the machinery of the mysteries, and the intimate connection between their system and that of Freemasonry, very naturally induced our ancient brethren to claim the patronage of an apostle so preeminently mystical in his writings, and whose last and crowning work bore so much of the appearance in an outward form of a ritual of initiation. All through the many episodes, the many hours of Mystery Babylon that we bared, we discussed the great work or the great plan. Ladies and gentlemen, if you understood what I just read, you know what the great work, what the great plan really is. But for those of you who may not, I will tell you. These men believe that St. John the Divine wrote the book of Revelations as the record of the initiation of the human race into the ultimate mystery. And that like individual man, as he is accepted into the lodge, where he suffers a symbolic death, is given a new name, and is reborn and raised by the grip of the lion's paw, and then begins through works upon his path, climbing Jacob's ladder to his own private apotheosis, so will the human race eventually derive to a point where humanism elevates the race, the human race, in its own public and worldwide apotheosis to the Godhead. And man himself will become God. They believe that Christ is returning to the earth, but not in a human body and not as the divine Son of God incarnated in the flesh to walk again amongst men, but that each man, each woman, the entire human race will become Christed. And there will be 1,000 years of peace under the new world order. The great plan, ladies and gentlemen, is the book of Revelations. And that is the ultimate revelation that I can ever give you on this broadcast. And for those of you who don't understand it and have not heard the entire series on Mystery Babylon, must read it. Now, I'm not telling you that what they believe is true. I'm just telling you that that is what they believe. And they have manipulated people for centuries because they are the power behind all the thrones of the world that have ever existed and that do exist now, today. There will be no pre-tribulation rapture. If they can bring it about, there will be a tribulation, I can guarantee you. Those of you who are waiting for Christ to step down off of a cloud, I can tell you with absolute 100% certainty, because of what Christ himself said, and if you will read it, you will realize that I am right. Christ is not coming anytime soon. If that hurts your feelings, so be it. It is true. For he said, "Ye shall not know the day, the month, nor the hour." The fact that all these television evangelists and all these preachers all over the world and all these prophecy makers and false prophets are telling you that Jesus Christ will be here by the year 2000, I can assure you he will not be here. But as long as you believe he will be, you will not oppose what's coming, and therefore you will march into slavery of your own accord, and all your wailings and chest beatings and teeth gnashings will not save you from what's coming. And if you believe that you're going to be lifted up into the clouds and you're not going to have to go through any of it because you're one of the 144,000 of the elect, then you also are deluded, just as deluded as these poor Nazis, and you belong in an insane asylum. You will probably lose your mind when you find out that you're not going anywhere. You got time for a few phone calls. Folks, 602-333-2174. If you can bring yourself to address any of this, it's a difficult subject to talk about for many of you. I readily realize that fact. 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Bill. At any rate, your topic tonight is quite interesting. Now, I haven't had time to go through your entire Mystery Babylon series because I'm not near the radio that often. But it's very interesting what you're saying here about Revelation and so forth. Now, one person that claimed to know what it was all about was Mr. Paresh, they said that he could define revelation quite well. Could it be that Koresh was actually on to what revelation was really all about?
I have no idea. The only one that could answer that is David Koresh, and he appears to be dead, although there's some people who doubt that.
Well, it's our telling the way. As strange as things have gotten in the last few years, it's truly strange. One other thing. How is it possible? I went through our federal depository here in town. I'm in Billings, Montana. And I can come up with 87297. But the SDD7277, I cannot find there.
You need to go, well, they've obviously taken it out and hidden it. But if you go to any large public library, even if they don't have it, they can get it for you through the interlibrary loan system. Or if you have the time and the money to take a trip to Washington, D.C., you will find it in the Library of Congress.
Okay. Well, I can get it down at my library here in town then.
Right.
Okay. That's the main thing I was looking for, because I'm getting tired of going through that depository up there. It's just driving me nuts, you know.
Well, their filing system is intentionally difficult to learn, and things are difficult to find. And I think they intentionally made it that way so that the sheeple wouldn't turn into real people too easily.
Well, I think you very well got a point there. I thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174 is the number. And while we're waiting for somebody else to call, if somebody else does call, let me give you the number of the preparedness shows. I will be at the San Jose Convention Center, 18th, 19th, and 20th. For Preparedness Expo 94, I'll be speaking as the keynote speaker at the top of the program each of those nights. I'll also have a booth there, be available for anybody who wants to come by and talk. All of the documents that we were talking about during the treason series will be there. We're not going to have a whole bunch of sets, so if you want to purchase one set of those documents, you better get there quick. I think we're only taking 25 sets. It's about 500 pages of documents, and I think they're going to go for about $60 a set. The copying fee is enormous because we can't afford to copy enough copies to bring the price down. If we could get 5,000 orders, we could have them printed for about 2 cents a page. But I doubt if we're going to get 5,000 orders. But if any of you out there would like to order that set, you can order them from us, $65 postpaid in the mail. $65 postpaid. They will be available at Preparedness Expo 94 in San Jose for $60. Okay, let's go to the phone. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm
turn off your radio right now.
Sorry about that.
I don't know why I have to tell you people every night, every time we take calls.
I'm a new listener. I've never heard you say it, and I haven't been following your program that long. A friend turned me on to your show.
And I bet you if you listen to any radio for very long, you know to turn your radio off.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was wondering, Mr. Cooper, I was reading a book from Carol Quigley, Professor Carol Quigley, and it was titled Tragedy and Hope.
Yes, very familiar with it.
A History and a World of Our Time.
He's also Clinton's mentor.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, I had a question. I understand the book, the way I was turned on to it was another book, was When the World Will Be as One from Tal Brook.
Tal Brook, yes. Tal Brook is also the author of Pat Robertson's book entitled The New World Order. Pat Robertson did not write his book.
Oh, my goodness, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Oh, interesting. Well, as I was saying, anyways, by being turned on to this book, the thing that intrigued me the most in wanting to research Tragedy and Hope was the fact that he claimed it had been yanked in 1966. The copy had been pulled, he said, almost overnight, as if the elitists that were in control of everything that's going on were kind of scared that he was revealing a little too much names and stuff from... concerning people around the round table, and
this is what's your point? What's your question?
What's my question? I'm wondering, If and now I have access to this information, why isn't there something to be done? I know that this the torch has been handed on and handed on and passed on. Why isn't there something being done in order to take back America? I guess I don't know. I just feel let down, like the whole country's just been played against one another, and I'm wondering isn't there
Do you have a question?
I would like your opinion on what we could do to resolve the matter, I guess.
Organize a militia, arm yourself, collect all the evidence you need to prove that when the fighting breaks out, you're fighting legally to restore the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, as the supreme law of the land. There will be no political solution. There will be no relief in the courts. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Go to work.
All right.
Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174. Remember, folks, don't commit any crimes in doing this, and don't start the war first. We must be right. The law must be with us, and these crazy traitors will do it sooner or later. They will justify us taking our nation back. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. How are you this evening?
Just fine.
Nice to hear you. I tell you, I just realized I could pick you up on the satellite. I remember you announced it last week, and it's real refreshing to hear the hour of the time crystal clear over satellite.
Yeah, isn't it nice?
Beautiful, beautiful. You know,
we're almost out of time, so you got to make
answer. An answer. I'm Scott from New Hampshire, by the way, and an answer to what the last gentleman just said. You know, what the New World Order is really all about is the elimination of individuality, and if the New World Order minions succeed, as you have covered over and over again, you will not be able to determine your own fate anymore.
That's right.
And I think that anybody, you know, we all have different ideas as to what we believe, whether we're Christians or not. But the fact of the matter is, we have the right to choose as long as we support the Constitution.
That's correct. I want to thank you for calling. We're out of time.
I thank you, Mr. Cooper.
Remember, folks, we're also on satellite Galaxy 3, Channel 17, 5.8 audio. You can get us in beautiful, crystal clear, high fidelity stereo sound. And this music is wonderful on satellite. Good night, and God bless you all.